In the words of Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder, ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we? So in 1982, these potent lyrics struck a chord inside me and are still resonating there years later. Today, this song has received about 20,000 views on YouTube, a mere pittance compared with We Are the World, with about 420 million views. It was released in 1985 by World Charity Supergroup. Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie's song We Are the World inspired many famous artists to participate for the African famine relief work, including Bruce Springsteen, Diana Ross, Tina Turner, Paul Simon, Billy Joel. So I bet the memory brings a warm glow to more than a few hearts here. These are songs about relationship, about harmony in relationship. Harmony is a concept that encompasses not just how we feel inside, or how we relate to each other, but can also describe our relationship with the world, with creation, our relationship with God. So when Sarah invited me to speak on harmony and wholeness in this season of creation, I read and reread Psalm 104 and just kept getting stumped on parts of it, like giving drink to every wild animal, and you cause the grass to grow for the cattle. What was speaking most loudly in my mind was disharmony, and I felt the heavy hand of responsibility that we've mucked it up with the environment, to say the least. I mean, how far from the Garden of Eden can you get? A friend of mine has recently returned from Ireland. She says it's not green anymore. And then the following verse from Meister Eckhart came to mind, a favourite of mine. And it helped bridge the gap on the journey back from the agony of separateness and disharmony that we can find ourselves in. So tonight I'd like to explore with you the question, how do we reconnect with God and renew our relationship when it's us that's turned away and developed a deaf ear? So Meister Eckhart, he lived from 1260 to 1328. When I was the stream, when I was the forest, when I was still the field, when I was every hoof, foot, fin and wing, when I was the sky itself, no one ever asked me, did I have a purpose? No one ever wondered, was there anything I might need? For there was nothing I could not love. It was when I left all we once were that the agony began. The fear and the questions came, and I wept. I wept, and tears I had not known before. So I returned to the river. I returned to the mountains. I asked for their hand in marriage again. I begged to wed every object and creature. And when they accepted, God was ever present in my arms. And he did not say, "Where have you been?" For then I knew my soul, every soul, has always held him. So this poem and Psalm 104 are proclamations of how we long for the world to be, for all to be well, for us to be restored to our connectedness with creation, for all to be harmonious. In Matthew 5:45, we read the words of Jesus, "My Father's sun shines on the good and the bad. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. And I add sheepishly, also the rain doesn't fall on the just and the unjust. So what to do? Sure, it's appropriate that we see the disharmony, and we need to face up to it. But the irony is, if we only focus on what's wrong, we've got fat chance of making any restoration. Looking a little closer at what harmony is in musical terms, the earliest forms of music were simple melodies sung in churches and cathedrals to recite religious texts. When a few other notes are added to the simple melodies, then depth and colour increases, and we have harmony, a joining, a fitting together, a communion. What's pleasant to the ear, we consider harmony. Otherwise, it's disharmony, dissonant. Just thinking about a disharmonious sound makes me want to flinch, to protect my senses, my body, even to run away. It's a physical reaction at the very least. And at the same time, we can also feel the pull, the desire to resolve the dissonance, to finish the unfinished business. Pythagoras was fascinated by music as an expression of divine harmony and described the perfect fifth as an archetypal divine perfection. One quote attributed to him is, "There is geometry in the humming of the strings. There is music in the spacing of the spheres." These early philosophers believed that the planets and the stars each had their own distinctive note, with the pitch determined by their velocity spinning through space, giving the harmony of the spheres. Consider the idea that we each here have our own distinct note or vibration, and that gathering here together, we create a particular unique resonance. Contemporary thought says that nothing in this universe exists in isolation. Richard Rohr teaches us that we can only consider everything in relation to something else, to the other. So when we're feeling separate, it's an I-it relationship. When grace is present, when grace is present between us, the relationship is I-thou. In the way that the concept of yin and yang is one of perpetual movement toward the other, we move in and out of harmony in our relationships with each other, with the planet, with the divine. And it's in our nature to find ourselves striving, either trying too hard to help or resisting like Bilio. But there's another option somewhere in between the two. That is, take comfort that no matter how often we turn our face away, God is ever present and does not say, "Where have you been?" We are already whole. At Benedictus, our before and after music help us adjust to the contrast between the rest of our day and this sacred space in which we can make our connection to the divine our highest priority. So we arrive into this space, and the before song, beautifully sung by Francis, helps like passing through a portal. We come from juggling a conglomeration of roles into the I-thou relationship, into alignment with God. And the after song can be likened to a decompression chamber, preparing to take us with our revitalized relationship back into our daily lives. And the space between the two is an opportunity to prioritize our relationship with the significant other. Open, available, like in the first song, "Here I am, Lord." It is I, Lord, to listen with our hearts. So some words from John O'Donohue. He says, "True listening is worship. With the sense of hearing, we listen to creation. One of the great thresholds in reality is the threshold between sound and silence. All good signs have silence near them, behind and within them." So to contemplate or pay attention to the natural world on a mountain, by the ocean, or in the desert, that can restore us to our sense of harmony, as will having a daily meditation practice, sitting in silence, chanting a mantra, like we do here at Benedictus with Maranatha. Another method is to chant a simple sound, such as humming. So as a preparation for our regular meditation here, in a moment, I'm going to invite you all to do the humming breath with me. If you've been in a yoga class, you'll have done it with me. The practice is simply to hum on the out-breath, softly and without force. Your neighbor might not even hear you, or they might. That's okay. So unlike when we sing together, we're not trying to hit the same note. We don't even try to make a sound that's harmonious. In fact, if you find that you are trying to make something happen in particular, then again, relax, let go. It is a practice that's said to have many benefits, including de-stressing, helping with insomnia, calming the mind for meditation, relaxing the digestive system, and is particularly beneficial in pregnancy. So there's a creative force for you. So we'll do the humming breath twice. We'll do that practice twice. And we'll just hum on the out breath for about 5 or 10 breaths. It'll only take a minute. And then I'll suggest that we have a period of silence for about a minute. And then we'll do it again. And then after that, I'll lead us into our usual beautiful practice of meditation. And Pauline will ring the bell for the start of that. Okay? So just as we prepare for meditation, sit up so that the spine is gently elongated. Relax your jaw. Just let the teeth be lightly apart. And breathe in and then hum gently on the out breath without forcing the sound. And we don't need to keep in time or anything. Okay, you can close your eyes if you like. After the next deep breath, just allowing yourself to sink into silence. Recognize that God's temple is within our own body. And as Richard Rohr invites us, realize that it is God who is doing the loving, and we surrender ourselves to being channels and instruments of that divine flow in the world. We do not initiate the process, we only continue it. So allowing yourself to once more take a breath in, and then on the out breath, a very relaxed humming. And at the end of the next out breath, again, sinking into stillness. Preparing to now enter into our silent meditation time together here at Benedictus. If you have an existing practice, please continue with that practice. Otherwise, we recommend the repetition of the prayer phrase Maranatha, said as four syllables of equal length. Listen to it as you say it, gently but continuously. Do not think or imagine anything, spiritual or otherwise. If thoughts and images come, these are distractions at the time of meditation. So keep returning simply to say the word, Ma-ra-na-tha.